To remind you of so far this year in worship, we have considered the light of Epiphany and what that might mean. And last week we remembered and considered the baptism of Jesus, and particularly what baptism reveals about God and this family of God that we enter through baptism. And this week I want to continue thinking about our God and the nature of our God and our relationship with God. All this seems good to be reminded of as we begin a new year together. And I want to approach it, though, by the two verbs that keep occurring in these two readings again and again and again. And those verbs are to see and to know. Did you notice how many times those two verbs or variations of them occurred in these two readings? John gives us the account of the call of Philip and Nathanael. This is after John, in the previous verses, has talked about Jesus calling Peter and Andrew and James and John. And when Jesus calls them, he said to them, "Come and see." And that's what Philip says to Nathanael in today's reading. Philip is from the same town as Peter and Andrew, and he knows of Jesus, and he comes to his friend Nathanael. Nathanael, by the way, in other Gospels is called Bartholomew, from Cana, which is a city near Nazareth. And Philip goes to Nathanael and says, "We have found the one, I think it's the one we've been waiting for, the Messiah, the one that Moses talks about, Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael says something kind of strange. He says, "Oh, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" You know, there must have been a rivalry between Cana and Nazareth. They were so close, but it must have been kind of like, in my neck of the woods, sort of like how we feel about Michigan in Ohio. Or maybe the rivalry around here between University of North Carolina and Duke. You know, oh, Cana and Nazareth. Oh, can anything good come out of Nazareth? But notice that's when Philip says to Nathanael, "Well, don't rush to conclusions. Come and see. Come and see Jesus for yourself. Come and see and know who Jesus is before you jump to conclusions." And so Nathanael goes to Jesus, and even as he's on his way, Jesus says, "Ah, here is a genuine Israelite, someone in whom there is no deceit." Now, that's a pretty flattering thing for Jesus to say, but presumably it's also true. But it convinces Nathanael immediately that Jesus is who he says he is, because he says to Jesus, "How do you know me? How did you know I was such a wonderful, perfect person?" And Jesus says, "Well, because I saw you before you came here." Nathanael and all the disciples are invited, as we are, to come and see and know. To come and see and know God. To come and see and know Jesus. In fact, as I was thinking about those words this week, I think you could sum up the whole Christian journey in those three words to some degree. What is it we are called to do? To come and to see and to know. And to come and see and know the one who sees and knows us. That's what the psalm says about God. God, like Jesus in John's story, God is the one who sees us and knows us. "Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know me in the depths. I can't go anywhere that you do not go with me and see me. If I go to the highest mountain, you see me. If I go to the darkest depths, you see me. And you know me. You are the one who created me, who knit me together in my mother's womb. God, you know me. You knew me before I even knew myself. You knew me long before I was born. You know everything that is ordained for me in my life before it happens. You know every word before I speak it. That one strikes great fear into my heart as a preacher, let me tell you. The point is, God knows us deeper and better than we know ourselves sometimes. Because we are good, let's face it, at trying to put our best face forward. That's what my mother always told me. Put your best face forward. And we do that as humans. But God knows our worst face as well. That incident from third grade that you've hoped everyone has forgotten about, God knows it. That harshly worded email you sent out last week that after you sent it you thought, oh, I knew I shouldn't have done that. God knows it. All those things you have said and done that in retrospect you might wish you hadn't done, God knows it all. Now, if that doesn't strike a little fear into your heart, I don't know what will. And yet it's also, I think, wonderful news. God knows us that well, each one of us. God knows that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God is the one who made this incredible body that we each have. You ever think about, I mean, we take it for such granted. Take it for granted. Things like just the way your hand works. I'm not even looking at my hand or thinking about this attendance pad, and I'm managing not to bonk Art right in the head with it or drop it. I'm not even thinking about it. I can pass it around behind my back. Ever think about that? They've been working decades to create robots that can do that. Or your eye. You ever think about your eye? The depth of field that your eye has, no camera can replicate that. Having worked briefly out in Southern California as a cameraman, one of my jobs was the focus puller. You know, when you're using a camera and someone gets closer or further away or the camera moves, we had to measure and mark on the lens and, you know, move it so everything would stay in focus. Your eye does that naturally. Even those of us who need a little extra help with our vision, our eyes are incredible things, our hands, our bodies, wonderfully made. And yet we human beings with our wonderfully made bodies and minds do such awful things. We are both wonderful and fearfully made. God knows that. God sees us at our best and at our worst. And God keeps loving us despite that, maybe even because of that. That's the real miracle. Not just that God sees us and knows us, but that knowing that and seeing all that we do and say that we shouldn't, God keeps loving us. And I thought maybe that would be a good reminder here at the beginning of another year, as we make these resolutions of all the wonderful things we're going to do, but if we're honest, we know all the ways we're going to fall dreadfully short of that and probably end up doing a lot of things we wish we hadn't done by this time next year. But despite it all, God will be with us every step of the way, no matter where we go, and God will keep loving us. And so I invite you to see and to know today the God who sees and knows you and keeps loving you. And maybe knowing that, we can go from this place and try to love others in that same way. Not because they're all wonderful people or everyone does wonderful things for us or to us, just the opposite, but to love people in some pale reflection of the way that God loves us. And if we do that and try to do that in the year ahead, we will see some great things. That I know. Amen.